T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome in, everybody, to the post-Super Bowl Fantasy Football Podcast on 92.9thegame.com. I'm Brian Gephardt, along with Bo Johnson. It's been a couple weeks, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We made it through Super Bowl week here in the city of Atlanta. City of Atlanta did a great job hosting the worst Super Bowl ever.
Would that
kind of be your summation of the entire
perfect. Yeah, I mean, everybody, all the national media types, everybody locally, everybody did a great job and talked about how great of a host city it was. I mean, a lot of the things... The way Atlanta's set up, it's hard to get around a little bit, but once you're downtown where everything is, I mean, all the events, all the concerts, all that stuff, it was all in a concentrated area, which I think the media loved, I think the people loved, and everything was great except for, you know, Sunday night.
Yeah, and I think that definitely puts the city of Atlanta back into the Super Bowl rotation. You know, there are a few cities, Atlanta, Indianapolis, New Orleans, to name a few, that have everything downtown. Now, when you go to Miami, the only Super Bowl I've ever been to is in Miami. So Sun Life Stadium's like way out in Fort Lauderdale, way away from downtown Miami. That's pretty much all that there is down there. Now, when I went, we basically flew in on Saturday, flew out on Monday. So I didn't do any of the pre-Super Bowl festivities. But now that I've seen it and been down there and been here for the whole thing, I'm really kind of wondering how Miami pulls that off whenever they get Super Bowls, because they get Super Bowls, you know, they're in the regular rotation. So is all the pre-Super Bowl stuff that week of, is it downtown Miami? And then the Super Bowl goes way out to 30 miles away? It's just kind of weird. But yeah, great job, City of Atlanta. I sent a tweet out Sunday night after the game was over, and I was rooting for Tom Brady and the Patriots. I did love the outcome, but the game was just crappy. Let's just face it. You know, Atlanta did both host the best pre-Super Bowl week ever and hosted the worst Super Bowl ever. That's pretty accurate.
No one could ever take that away from the city of Atlanta.
Absolutely. And it's not the city of Atlanta's fault that the Super Bowl was so crappy. Now, had Saints and Patriots, could that have been a better game? Probably. I think so. And a lot of people do also. But, hey, we won't bring up old stuff any longer.
I will say one thing, and everybody knows who listens to this podcast, that Bo is a Saints. He's a member of the Who Dat Nation,
man.
But I think the biggest thing the Saints would have given the Patriots as far as different looks is Kamara, and the combination of Kamara and Ingram, I think it would have been tough because they never dealt well all year long with running backs who caught passes, and Gurley clearly wasn't as healthy as he was. And that kind of brings us up to, you know, what we want to take away from a fantasy perspective with the Super Bowl, and that's not a whole lot. Okay.
Well, and there was one other thing that the Saints being here over the Rams would have done. And that would have made it much more complicated for Tom Brady and the Patriots to run their offense. If you listen to the Super Bowl with volume, the Super Bowl sounded like a Patriots home game. The Rams did not come out, all right? I sat in traffic for hours the entire week, very little Rams fans. I worked 4 events at State Farm Arena, very little Rams fans, and that was reflected the night of the game, too. It was quiet when the Pats had the ball, and it was very loud as that stadium can get almost, for a football game when the Rams had the ball. And that's huge, home field advantage. So it was almost like the Patriots had home field advantage. Now, had the Saints been in that game, Saints fans travel, it's only a 7-hour drive from New Orleans, 8 hours from other parts in Louisiana. That stadium, I think, would have been a lot different. Now, pick your poison. If you're a Falcons fan, who do you want to hate on more, the Patriots or the Saints? You know, I just think it would have been a better game. Could have been more money for the city of Atlanta because the Rams aren't fans yet. You know, the Rams fans, in quotes. You know, I saw some YouTube videos of some bars when they won the NFC Championship during the Super Bowl, and they're quiet. Like, they don't know how to root for football because it's L.A., but, you know.
100%. And, like, sports talk out there in L.A., I heard and was reading about, it was all about the whole Anthony Davis potential trade to the Lakers, which were coming up on the NBA trade deadline tomorrow. But we won't get into any NBA stuff here. Anyways, with the Super Bowl, you look at the score, 13-3, lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time. You know, Gurley was a no-show. Goff was terrible. Brady didn't even have a good game. Keep saying he had it's like he made throws when he needed to, like he's done in every other
Super Bowl. And he made some great throws. He just kind of managed the game.
He was
aside from the one pick on this first pass attempt, which is a deflected ball.
He was okay. And obviously, Edelman had a great game. Gronk did his thing. But that's the biggest thing that, from a fantasy perspective, that we want to talk about the Super Bowl is that don't freak out about what you saw over the last, over the last week with the Super Bowl, but even throughout the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, sure, you can take some things here and there from it. I mean, I think the biggest thing that I'm going to take away is going back into next year when it comes back to the Rams offense is how much they miss Cooper Kupp and how much he's going to be their go-to guy and how much he's the PPR monster on that team because, you know, they never really developed a consistent receiving threat at tight end between Everett and Higbee. Yep. You know, Cooks is clearly only a deep threat guy, and they covered Woods really well because if you can take away that option, then that's that. But that's the biggest thing I took away from a fantasy perspective is, man, did the Rams miss Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, and you're not, don't go thinking all kind of some way about Todd Gurley. Also, on the opposite end of the spectrum, Todd Gurley is still going to sit as my top running back. We're going to get into rankings. We're going to go some top fives of every position, or at least every position that matters. We're not going to talk about kickers and defenses. But we're going to talk about our top five players right now going into the 2019 season. Todd Gurley's still up there. So don't go getting all up in your feelings about Todd Gurley and dodging Todd Gurley in the draft. And also, don't go thinking C.J. Anderson's going to be this hot fantasy commodity next year. Because he's not.
No.
He's not going to even start on a team next year. And if he does, it'll be as a third string running back.
Best case for him is he might be a handcuff situation. He might be a guy you have to roll the dice in a bad bye week or something. Or if he remains,
but unless he goes and loses like 20 or 30 pounds, I don't see him making it through a season as a backup, because backups, we're gonna get 5-10 carries a game.
Part of him that he talked about, because he was picked up and dropped by I think what, three teams this year, something along those lines, and so he thought he was done, so he kind of mailed it in. He was sitting on the couch, eating chips and putting on that weight.
He got cut by the Raiders of all teams.
That's where his season was at one point. And that's exactly where he said once he got cut by the Raiders, he's like,
"Wow, this is
all right,
be
well,
the end
looking
for me.
Forward to August. Well, looking forward to August here." And any other Super Bowl notes? One other one that we were talking about pre-show before we jumped in here. Julian Edelman, he's been spectacular in the playoffs. He is what he is during the regular season. He's going to be right around, 1,000 yards. He's going to probably flirt with 85, 90 catches. Yeah. He's going to get you somewhere between 5 or 7 touchdowns. He's a really nice PPR player. Don't think like, oh, man, he's a wide receiver one, and he's the guy, and he's the dude. Like, he is what he is. He shows up. He's a clutch guy. Congrats to him for winning the Super Bowl MVP, but he's not going to be like a wide receiver one or anything.
He's
crazy
a pretty
like
solid,
that.
In a PPR, he's a pretty solid flex guy. A pretty solid wide receiver three, maybe wide receiver two, late wide receiver two, depending on what's still out there. But yeah, don't freak out and draft Julian Edelman in the first round thinking, now he is. Congratulations, Julian Edelman. The Super Bowl MVP is the very first 99 rated overall player in Madden Ultimate Team. So they just released the first 99 player.
Okay.
Because Madden goes year round. They release content in Ultimate Team year round. So Julian Edelman was just released on Monday as the first 99 player for Madden 2019. So congratulations. He's great on there.
Wait, so he's a 99 overall player on Madden?
Yeah. The Super Bowl MVP always is. It's last year it was Nick Foles got a 99. Nick Foles got a 99 card.
Okay.
In Ultimate Team, that's where it is. You're collecting cards.
And those
cards translate to players that you play with in the game.
Okay.
He's a 99 overall rated player, but his speed's still only like 94. It's a decent player. He's a decent card. He's got, you get in all the spec catch and all the different ratings of route running and stuff like that. You know how Madden is.
Sure.
All
right, so what we're going to do in this show today, we're going to give you top five rankings right now for each position heading into 2019. These rankings can change. They're fluid. It's February 6th, people, so we're going to try to. But we want to kind of give you an idea for those of you who are in dynasty drafts or have to come up with keepers. We're also going to get to some keeper scenarios a little bit later on in the show. And we're going to roll out a segment for the offseason called Don't Forget About. And we'll give you three players kind of every couple of months. We'll probably do one today. We're going to do one probably pre-draft. We're not really sure. Just various times, every couple weeks. Make sure you tune in, 99thegame.com. Check us out on Twitter. Bo, you are at?
Jedi Sports Radio, all one word.
And I am at Brian_Gephardt. Of course, follow the station's Twitter account as well, at 92.9TheGame. Let's start off with our quarterback rankings. And again, top five each position. We're going to do quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Kicking it off with quarterback. And there's only got to be one choice. I mean, if you have someone different at one than I have different at one, then anybody else is different at one. Do you really? Yeah. Bo's giving me this smile.
I like to spice stuff up.
All right. Number one is clearly the guy who took over the league, Pat Mahomes, 50 touchdowns. He was an absolute freak. He had 11 more than Andrew Luck, who we'll talk about in a minute on my list at least. But Pat Mahomes is my number one quarterback heading into 2019. And Bo is a psychopath for disagreeing with
now
me.
Now look, and there's very good reason. And I want to allow you to sit back and let's think about this for a minute.
Contrarian out of the gate. Is this where we're going?
Yes, it is.
Go
but
ahead.
It should not be, because there is a logical explanation for what I'm about to say. Andrew Luck had 39 touchdowns. All right, 11 behind Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes had 50 touchdowns and 5,000 receiving yards in year two of his NFL career. Do you think that he will replicate that next year?
I think he could replicate the yards. He's not going to replicate the touchdowns.
Yeah, because you know, Drew Brees is the only person to throw for 5,000 yards in multiple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Pat Mahomes just did it once. So even replicating the yards is going to be tough. All right, so right behind him is Andrew Luck, who is a seasoned, I don't know if you'd even call him a veteran at this point. I mean, how many years is Andrew Luck in the league?
Yeah,
seven?
No, he's a seasoned veteran. Yeah.
So he finally gets healthy and returns back to form this year and throws 39 touchdowns and 4,000-something yards. So to me, is it likely that Pat Mahomes is going to finish above Andrew Luck next year again 2 years in a row? Or is it more likely that Andrew Luck has a very similar season to how he did this year, 40 touchdowns, 4,000-something yards? I have Andrew Luck as the number one quarterback going into next year with Pat Mahomes at two, simply because there is definite regression coming for Pat Mahomes. You can't go into this draft thinking, oh, I'm drafting a 50 touchdown, 5,000 yard guy. He was that in 2018. He will not be that in 2019. If he is, then I will eat my words or something. But history tells us that there's going to be some regression here. That's why I have Andrew Luck at one. And I love the conversation, because if we agreed on everything, then there would not be a podcast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So and I've got Luck at one, Mahomes at two.
Okay, I have Luck at three. We'll talk about who I got two in a minute, because I know you're going to disagree with that. The one thing I do love about – I've always been an Andrew Luck guy, and they finally have an offensive line around him. They did a great job all year. Quentin Nelson, well-documented, top 10 pick, the guard out of Notre Dame. But they've got a number of different players that they've really built over the last 2 years while Luck's been dealing with this shoulder injury. The biggest thing for me is with Mahomes, you lose Kareem Hunt, so you're probably not going to be as good at running back. The Williamses have been doing pretty well, but I still think he's going to be airing it out. And the weapons he has are great. Sammy Watkins was actually pretty good.
Down the stretch, especially. Yeah. In the playoffs, he was decent.
Tyreek Hill, I mean, his name will come up here on these lists in just a minute as well. He's an absolute freak. I mean, the fastest guy in the NFL right now. Travis Kelce, the best tight end. I think we'll get to him as well. Yeah. So he's got the weapons. And I think you look at the Colts, and unless they get an Antonio Brown or find another wide receiver, another true playmaker. I mean, you had Eric Ebron had, I think, what was it, a dozen touchdowns
he
or 11 touchdowns?
Double digits, yeah.
Something like that, which you can't expect him to do again. T.Y. Hilton never seems to stay healthy. So for me, it's more about the weapons, the arsenal that he has, and I would go with Mahomes a little bit more on that edge. But I do agree with you on the regression. The yardage, I think, will still be there, because we see every year after year after year more quarterbacks creep up towards that 5,000-yard mark. All right, you ready for my number two, which I know you're going to disagree
with? Who's your number two quarterback? It's got to be Rodgers, right?
It is Rodgers.
Okay.
It is Aaron Rodgers.
I don't hate that.
And you know me. I mean, we've kind of gotten to know each other's fantasy football styles over this past season. Until they're, like, dead and then stabbed in the heart and bleeding out, like, I like the older guys. I like the guys who have been there and done that. And Aaron Rodgers, to me, playing at what seemed to be, 75%, something like that on the year, they're going to change things up offensively. I think Cobb's gone. I think Graham's gone because he's a big cap hit. So those two are probably gone. You got to imagine the wide receivers that they drafted last year, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he had some opportunities and played pretty well this year. Same thing. They need to find a number two wide receiver. And I think if they figure out who that is, if it's Geronimo Allison, whoever it might be. But with that, he does have a top 3 to 5 wide receiver in Devontae Adams. He's got two what have turned out to be pretty good running backs. And you got an offensive guy in there being the head coach now. They're going to mix things up, and I think they're going to be a little bit more creative. And I expect a fully healthy Aaron Rodgers heading into next season, kind of getting back to not quite what he was, but right there on the cusp.
I don't see any reason why he can't get back to what he has been. I wouldn't even go as far as say what he was. I mean, he had the MCL sprain that he played through, which he got in like week one or two.
That Bears game was insane.
I've got Rodgers at number three, and if Rodgers falls all the way to like the 9th, 10th round, and he's my quarterback next year, because that's still where I'm going to draft a quarterback, then I'll be jumping for joy. All right.
I'm interested to see where the public in general kind of how they view Aaron Rodgers heading into next year.
Devontae Adams finished 5 points behind in PPR, 5 points behind Tyreek Hill, who finished as the number one wide receiver in all of fantasy football. So you've got Devontae Adams there. You've got a couple of good running backs, MVS, Geronimo Allison. I think that these guys will another year under their belt. Now, word around town is that they are hanging on to Jimmy Graham. I think they only owe him like $5 or $6 million, but we'll see. It's going to be a long offseason, you know. The shakeups have already started, especially here in Atlanta, more on the defense and special teams side of the ball. So things like that can happen. And that's why we're here, to give you this content, you know, to keep you informed as the summer goes along. So how does your top five round out? Now, my number four, to me, is being drastically underrated because of where – and it might be Super Bowl recency. It might be a recency bias, but on a negative way.
Okay.
Just because of the crappy Super Bowl, and that's Jared Goff comes in at number four for me.
All right.
Mainly because of the weapons that he has. He's got Gurley. I'm not including C.J. Anderson in that conversation, but he's got Woods and Kupp and Cooks. We'll all be back next year. We assume they'll have a tight end that can at least catch a ball or make a block or something. They're going to have the good defense again. You know, they need a little bit of help in the secondary, but their defense isn't going to be horrible, so it's not like Goff's going to be on the field too much. You know, now that sometimes makes for a better fantasy quarterback as somebody with a crappy defense, so they're always on the field and throwing from behind. But if you go look at some of the national websites, you know, they're pre-ranking Jared Goff like closer to 20 than he is to 10. And for me, that's just kind of – that blows my mind. All right, so I've got Goff at 4 and Deshaun Watson at 5, one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. And I could very easily switch those two. I like the fact that Watson will use his legs when he has to, but they don't do a whole lot of planned runs for him, and that's kind of the way the NFL tends to be going. The quarterbacks that like have a lot of planned runs for them they don't seem to be making it in the league, you know.
Deshaun Watson is my number five there as well. I have a different person at number four. I'll get to that in just a second. I think the biggest thing with Jared Goff, you start to look at these guys, you know, after those top, I think we'd agree, Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck in some form or fashion, you know, those are the top three, and then it kind of, maybe you have a next tier. And the next, like, you know, the 4 to 8 range, I think we'll get into, is I would prefer the guys that have the upside with their legs. And that's why I have Russell Wilson at 4. And I would have Goff a little bit further down, not quite where some of the national people have him at, like 11, 12 in that range, but more like 7 or 8. Russell Wilson, man, he has just been one of the most consistent guys. They were a run first team, and that took a little bit away from what he was doing.
Still ended up as like the number three quarterback, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, exactly. You just know he's not going to burn you, and he's just a safe pick if you want to go with a quarterback in that, you know, 4th, 5th round-ish kind of a range, maybe even 3rd, depending on how quickly quarterbacks go in your league. And the other thing for me, you know, I always talk about guys that I love over the years. We'll see how he comes into this year, but Doug Baldwin should be healthy and at 100% going into next season. He played pretty well down the stretch as well. You know, had that injury in training camp, so you had that issue. You have another year with Tyler Lockett coming out of the gate. So I think they're going to develop a little bit more, some of these wide receivers, some of these playmakers. They got young tight ends, and I could see more touchdowns from Russell Wilson. Similar, you know, he's got a very high floor heading into next year as well. So he's my number four, Watson at 5.
Yeah, and I don't mind. If we did a top 10, I think Russell Wilson would probably come in at like 6 for me, or if I went back and re-looked at everything again, he may come in above Goff. You just can't look past all the weapons that Jared Goff has, and all these guys are pretty talented. You know, now he doesn't have a top 3 guy, but he has a lot of top 15s.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's got 3 top 20 probably. Yeah, top 15, so, 20, something like that.
It's a great conversation that we will continue to have. Let's move on to running backs now, and this one we might, I don't know, it's kind of depends, because my answer, if you ask me this question, who my number one's going to be, in a redraft and a dynasty, I'm going to give you 2 different answers.
Okay.
So right now, in a PPR, as a redraft, I still have Todd Gurley at number 1, Saquon Barkley at number 2. What do you say?
I'm going to go redraft and dynasty Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
I mean, what he showed in his rookie season, talk about regression. It's going to be really hard to duplicate getting 2,000 yards again. But I think the touchdowns are going to be there for him. I mean, he's clearly the guy. I also think in a certain way, especially in the red zone, that a healthy Odell Beckham for an entire season is even going to open up more things for Saquon moving forward. He probably doesn't duplicate the catches again. He'll probably get close because I think he broke Reggie Bush's rookie record. It was like he had a high 80s, maybe low 90s total reception yardage. But we still don't know what's wrong with Gurley. And there's clearly something wrong, whether it's just a tweaked knee or whatever it is. He ran out of gas. I don't know. And that'll come out over the next week or two. But Barkley being, you know, the athletic specimen that he is, the rookie season that he had, I think he's just surefire number one pick to me.
See, I like Barkley in a dynasty. That's who my number one pick would be. He would be my number one overall dynasty redraft pick right now because of the age. But in a regular redraft PPR league, I got to go with Gurley because he's gone the team with the better offense, and there are question marks surrounding, and you're a Giants fan, so maybe you have a little more insight to this than I do, several question marks surrounding the quarterback position with the New York Giants, and they very well could be taking a quarterback, assuming that he's there at number 6 in the draft. And if they do that, does that mean Eli is pushed aside, or does that mean, is Eli a good quarterback for a guy to be an understudy of for the next couple of years? I mean, do they want to move on yet? There's so many questions.
I know.
The Rams offense is so good that that's why I have to go with Gurley there.
See, I think the thing is with Barkley is that if the offense is bad, if it's good, if it's mediocre, whatever it winds up being, he's going to be it. He's going to be the bulk of the offense.
Especially now if they do have a new quarterback.
Exactly.
They might run the offense through Barkley.
And the whole thing was last year, you know, the offensive line still wasn't very good. And that Barkley had, you know, all these dump-off passes that he was able to catch and move forward. The one thing at quarterback is Dwayne Haskins and his people. He's a New Jersey native. He grew up a Giants fan. He's the Ohio State quarterback. Very good chance he's the number one quarterback taken. They're kind of on a full court PR press to be the Giants, to have the Giants draft him. He's even said Eli's a legend, wouldn't mind sitting behind him for a year.
I hadn't even seen that.
They're going full court on that. And I wouldn't mind that at all. And Haskins is also kind of more of a prototypical, you know, pocket passer, if you will. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, here's where we're going to disagree. Obviously, 1-2, and all the top, I think the top three are going to be the same for us. I've got Zeke Elliott at number 2. And part of it is just because, you know, dude's never really gotten hurt. I still like their offensive line a lot. It was kind of down a little bit this year. They dealt with some injuries. Didn't have Zach Martin for a lot of the year. And I just think Zeke, they just revolve this whole offense around Zeke Elliott. Not that they don't around Gurley, but you start to talk about some of the weapons that the Rams have. I think that takes away. And I just think Zeke will get the ball just as much or more than he ever has heading into next season. I just want to keep riding Zeke as much as I possibly can. And then I've got Gurley at 3. So who do you have there at 3, Bo?
All right, so at 3, and now let me be clear on this. I think that going into next year's draft, everyone's strategy should be to land one of these guys first. First and foremost, with the depth at the wide receiver position and the league kind of going not really back to workhorse running backs, but there are a lot more of them in the league right now. If you can get any of these guys, that's what my number one goal is going into next season. I got Christian McCaffrey at number 3.
Okay.
With Zeke at number 4. I like how Carolina uses McCaffrey in the passing game. Now, Zeke did come on late in the season with a bunch of catches, and it's going to be interesting to see how they utilize that going into next year, because Zeke's such a powerhouse north and south runner that if he gets 50 balls, I'm not sure how many receptions. He may have ended up with 50. If he catches 50 balls next year, he can end up well over 2,000 yards, you know, from scrimmage as well. But I got McCaffrey there just because I like how they use him in a passing game, and it's a lot. You know, he'll have several games where he'll have 100 and 100, like 200 total yards, 100 rushing, 100 receiving, or he'll have 150 receiving yards. And in PPR leagues, that means a lot more. You know, so I've got McCaffrey, Zeke, and then Alvin Kamara rounds out the top 5 for a very similar reason of how he's used in the offense.
Very early. Again, it's February 6th, and we'll obviously talk about this more and more as we get closer towards the season and training camp and all that stuff. But does it worry you, Cam Newton's health with McCaffrey at all? Does he take a little bit of a step back?
Not for McCaffrey.
Some of these other guys?
Okay. Not for McCaffrey, because if Cam's lost something on his shoulder, they're going to dump it off. If it's a new quarterback or Cam's still hurt, they're probably going to dump it off. Now, the Carolina receiving core is what I'm going to be worried about going into next year already, because you have no idea who their guys are even going to be. And then you have the shoulder surgery. I think the shoulder surgery, if anything, probably helps McCaffrey, you know, in my eyes.
Is Steve Smith like the only good receiver they've ever had? Like literally in the history of the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, you had
start to really think about it, and you're just like,
as far as consistency goes, you had like a year out of Kelvin Benjamin, you know, and then
he had the high touchdowns his rookie year. It's every year it's the same conversation with the Panthers. Yeah, that receiving core. You know? We got Greg Olsen.
He's not
good running backs.
And Cam Newton is not Tom Brady. He cannot take no names and go win a Super Bowl.
No, not at all.
You know, and we've seen that clearly.
How much higher would Zeke Elliott be for you? Obviously, what we're doing is PPR rankings. Does he move up a couple spots in a standard league? Because you could argue he could be the number one overall pick in a standard league because he's that traditional kind of old school running back that's just going to get the ball 25 times a game.
I think that he probably leads all these guys in rushing yards next season. Mm-hmm. So he could very easily move up to number one. I would probably have to go back and look at catches and how many yards per catch they average and how many receiving touchdowns each one of them had, you know, things like that. But yeah, I could very well see that happening.
And I have Chris McCaffrey at 4, Alvin Kamara at 5 there as well. So similar list. We have the same 5, like you said. If you can get
shake it up however you want. Yeah.
Honestly, if you can get one of these guys and you can get a tight end, we'll get to tight ends in just a minute. If you can get one of those top 5 running backs and one of those top 5 tight ends, I think that's really key to trying to build a strong team. So we'll go on to wide receivers now. And we were talking a little bit of this it's hard once you get past the first couple to where these guys go. Yeah. I mean, you could just make an argument for so many different reasons. And I feel like it's if a guy burned you in a certain spot or not or whatever. So who do you got at 1, Bo?
Mike Thomas.
All right. I have no issue with that at all. I've got him at 3.
All right.
And to me, personally, the top 3 are kind of, again, clustered together in like kind of first tier.
This is very hard to rank these guys because this is like the top 5 running backs. If you can get one of these guys on your team, my goal going into next year will be able to get one of the running backs and one of these receivers coming back at 2 wherever I am. But when you got receivers this talented, I kind of got to look at who's throwing them the ball. Drew Brees again set the NFL record for completion percentage. Mike Thomas had a 95%+ catch rate. He does not drop the football when it's thrown anywhere near him. That's why I had to go with Mike Thomas. He ended up finishing with 9 touchdowns, I think, after a very strong start, kind of slowed towards the end of the season. But, you know, again, these top 5 probably guys, maybe even 6, if you end up with any of them, I think you're going to be in good shape.
2 things I want to get your feedback on or your thoughts right now with the Saints offense, because I think the biggest thing for Mike Thomas as the year went along and why he slowed down a little bit is the Ted Ginn injury. They didn't have that second wide receiver to kind of balance out the offense. Do you think they need to go out and get someone? Do you think they're fine with what they've got receiving-wise? Do you think Traquan Smith, do you think he can kind of take the next step? I mean, where are you with?
I think Traquan Smith can take the next step, and that's where they want him to be, is in that Ted Ginn role. You know, Ted Ginn's still going to be around. We'll see how that's more of a training camp. I think that they will try to add somebody in the draft. I don't know if it'll be high or low, but I think that they will probably try to attack offense. We don't have a first-round draft pick, so.
And where do you think where are you with Brees next year? Do you think he can kind of put up similar numbers again? Do you think he's going to have – I mean, he had an extremely efficient year, but only 32 touchdowns, which is funny. It's 2018, only 32. Touchdowns. But that's kind of, you know, an average number of touchdowns now for a starting quarterback. I mean, what kind of year do you think Brees could have in 2019?
I think he could, a similar year to what he had, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, you know, which will be fine for players in that offense. You know, I don't see any regression in his game. He's not a guy that's fleet of foot, never has been. He's the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. You know, deep balls are more about accuracy and timing than they are arm strength. And that's where a lot of people kind of get all up in their feelings about, well, I need a deep ball quarterback. You can't throw the ball deep. Well, you can throw the ball with accuracy, and that's what you want. You know, so I don't see much regression coming. It's going to be an average. He's a right there in the middle quarterback, 5, 6, 7, something like that. So, yeah.
All right, you're listening to the 92.9thegame.com fantasy football podcast. Brian Gephardt along with Bo Johnson here. We're ranking our wide receivers, our top 5 wide receivers heading into 2019. Bo has Michael Thomas as number 1. I've got him at 3. My number 1 is a guy who's just, I mean, as far as consistency, maybe Antonio Brown, even though, you know, we know about all the drama going on there. Mm-hmm. But DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Nuke has just been a beast year after year after year. And I think with Watson stepping into his third year at quarterback, I think they continue to build that chemistry. And you just expect the same thing from Hopkins.
Yeah.
1,500 yards. Probably a dozen touchdowns or so, and he's just a guy, and he's a guy who's starting to get those little nicks here and there. I think every week he was like probable with a finger and a foot and a nose and a toe and a, you know, whatever groin. You're just like, whatever. He's going to play. He's going to put up numbers. He's going to do his thing.
He's turned out to be one of the toughest wide receivers in the league. If all the injury reports are accurate, you know, because he was on there every week, you know, and there's no probable designation anymore. It's always questionable, which is the most frustrating thing to fantasy football players.
Gosh, man. Yeah, it is. Especially when you got a 425 kick and you got to make those decisions. But yeah, Hopkins is the guy for me at one. Where do you have Hopkins?
I have Hopkins at three.
Okay.
You know, I don't hate that one bit.
So we've got one and three flip. I feel like we're going to have the same guy at two.
Devontae Adams.
That's right. Exactly. Your thoughts on Devontae
Adams? You
got
to look at who's throwing on the ball. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy. He finished this year as the number two wide receiver, and he's been increasing. You know, almost won that call that I made at the beginning of the season by 5 points. One more touchdown or a 50-yard catch
for
Devontae Adams, and he would have been the number one wide receiver in fantasy. So,
the not good call for me was Jimmy Graham. And we'll see. Bo was saying, as of right now, he read that they're probably going to keep him. If not, we'll obviously keep you guys updated on what's going on with that. Do you know Graham finished in a lot of categories on that team as the second wide receiver as far as like targets?
Not surprised.
And receptions,
I mean, look at their weapons.
Which is so you hope those other wide receivers take that same thing. So it's funny, we've done these rankings and quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, we all have slightly different players, but it's the same three guys. So those are the clear-cut tier 1 guys in our opinion. Now here's where things get interesting, I think. You start to talk about four, and you could take any one of a number, about five or six guys. Who do you have as your number four wide receiver?
I actually have Julio Jones at number four.
Okay.
He led the league in receiving yards this year. Came on late, but only had 8 touchdowns. Now, is he a player I'm going to be targeting in drafts? No, absolutely not. I've been burned by Julio before because of the lack of touchdowns. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I had Julio on a very short rostered team. The league that I actually won this year, actually, I had Julio the year before, and I took him in the first round, and the 3 touchdowns just absolutely killed me. But you do like the fact that he led the league in receiving yards. You do like the fact that they finally kind of ended up getting in some kind of a groove, a little bit, you know, too little too late, but ended up finishing with like 8 touchdowns, something like that. That's serviceable. It's not where I want my wide receiver one on my fantasy team to be. He has shown that he can consistently stay on the field, though. He hadn't really had a whole lot of injuries in the last couple of years.
No.
People still label him injury prone. He probably, I think, played in all 16 games the last 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. I could be a little bit off on that. But I've got Julio Jones at number 4, followed by OBJ at number 5.
Okay, I've got OBJ at 5 there as well. I have a different number 4. One other thing about Julio Jones for me, for the guys, I mean, I still play in one. I think you may play in one as well. Standard league, Julio is a little bit higher for me because
with the yardage,
and he doesn't get the receptions that some of these other guys gobble up because his catches are a lot of times for, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards or whatever it might be. So he might be a little bit higher in some standard leagues for me. But Tyreek Hill at number 4, the guy is just, you know, an explosion waiting to happen. Yeah. He's a touchdown waiting to happen anytime. He could do nothing for 3.5 quarters, and you could still feel like, all right, Mahomes, one bomb, here we go. 75-yard touch. And it seems like it happens in just a blink, just like that. And a lot of times in the first quarter, he'll have, you know, one out of the gate where it's like a 65-yard touch. You're looking up, you're looking at the red zone or whatever you're doing, or you get a little update on your phone. You're like, man, again, just like that. So, and I don't, you know, again, Mahomes, highly doubtful he'll get back to that 50 touchdown mark, but I think the yardage, he'll still be pretty close to the 5,000, and Tyreek Hill is going to be a big part of that. I'd put Tyreek Hill at 4 right now.
So I put Tyreek Hill down here, although we're only doing 5. I put
he was
him at
the honorable
6.
Mention.
He was on others receiving votes. I've got OBJ at 5, Tyreek Hill at 6. I just like the talent of OBJ and his ability to catch the football, and I mean, in the player. Now, we have no idea who's going to be throwing on the ball. It could be Eli. It could be somebody else. It
could be Saquon. Who knows?
It could be.
It could be OBJ.
You know, OBJ could be throwing the ball to himself.
He had two passing touchdowns this year.
So, you know, even though Tyreek Hill finished as the number one receiver, I don't want to label him a boomer bust because I was able to watch some Chiefs games this year, and Tyreek Hill impressed the hell out of me in the way that he was able to go up and come down with the football, because he kind of gets labeled as a boomer bust, deep ball wide receiver. And while that's where he makes a lot of his money is deep balls, he's the fastest player in the NFL, so that works for him. I'd just rather somebody that's going to finish with, you know, 100 catches than somebody that's going to finish with, you know, 1,600 yards as opposed to 1,400.
I wish we could start like some sort of GoFundMe page or something to where it exists where we could watch Tyreek Hill in his prime take on primetime Deion Sanders in his
in a
prime
foot race?
On a foot race or just one-on-one coverage.
Because
that would be
wow.
So fascinating to me just to watch the speed between those two. Because those are, I think, the two fastest guys I've ever seen on a football
field. Probably
so. And it's just crazy. And I'm typically not, you know, for the most part, you know, I mentioned guys like Russell Wilson or I'm higher on Zeke Elliott than most people because I oftentimes prefer a slightly safer pick, but you just watch what Tyreek Hill does, man, and you're just like, geez, it just happens so quickly.
Now, it'd be first step is where you would either win or lose that match mainly, yeah. But what made Deion the best cornerback ever, as far as I'm concerned, all right, was his closing speed.
Yep.
All right. He doesn't necessarily have to have the acceleration or the burst off the line because his closing speed, when the ball's in the air, he gets to the football faster and more impressively than any other cornerback you've ever seen play the game. That's why for the first, you know, half of his career, he was being challenged and he did come away with the play more often than not, probably. And then in the second half of his career, you're on an island. Good luck with that. He's the best corner in the league. We're not even going on that side of the field. You know, that's why these great cornerbacks like P2 later in their careers, they don't have all the interceptions because they don't get challenged. They're not throwing the ball over there. They know who's going to come down when it's not going to be your wide receiver.
And in years past, as we were saying, you know, top three are pretty set, I think, in our opinions. But you get through, you know, this list really goes 5, 6, 7, 8 deep. And you get to that 8 or 9 mark, and then it starts to drop off a little bit. But if you can get any one of those guys on your team for 2019, that would be great. Or we're going to do tight end rankings, and then we're going to come up and do some don't forget about these three players and keeper scenarios. So tight ends here. I think we got the same guy at number one, but you kick us off there, Bo.
So tight ends, real quick. I've got Kelce at number one. He was the best tight end in football, if I'm not mistaken, this season, and I don't see any reason why he won't finish there. The tight end landscape is so crappy that if you end up with one of these top five guys, everybody else just kind of falls into a shoebox, and you just pick you one. You know, I've got Kelce at one, Kittle at two. With the big X factor for Kittle going into next year being the quarterback situation, but you got to think that if you have a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo versus whatever they had this past season, a multitude of guys, for Kittle to have still finished as high as he did, if he has Garoppolo next year, you got to think that he's going to improve.
The only thing, you know, I could think of is if they get another wide receiver. You know, they talked about getting Antonio Brown. If they get another weapon, it'll also be really hard to duplicate.
Yeah.
We were looking this up. He had 1,377 receiving yards as a tight end. He was eighth among all pass catchers this season.
So that's not going to happen again.
That won't happen again, but the touchdowns could most certainly be there for him. I've got Kittle 3. I got Zach Ertz 2. I imagine you've got Ertz at the 3 spot.
I've got Gronk and then Ertz.
Okay.
Gronk at 3, Ertz and 4. I think we were talking to the bullpen. I actually had Ertz and then Gronk. I mean, it's a coin toss. You know, it's still Gronk. And if he and Brady both come back, you know, there's a lot more consistency with those two than there are with Philadelphia quarterback, whoever it may be, and Ertz.
See,
you know,
now, but Ertz did break the all-time reception record for tight ends this year. He broke Jason Witten's record. And I think in a PPR league, I would definitely want Ertz over Gronk. I actually have one other guy over Gronk on this list who I think you have on this list here as well. I'm just real bullish on this guy, and he did play in the playoff game against the Patriots, but he's someone that we've kind of forgot about. Hunter Henry, guy was a monster. Phillip Rivers clearly likes tight ends.
Yep.
Granted, he had one of the best of all time who rolled himself out there this year and tried his best, but Hunter Henry is going to be a red zone machine.
Yeah.
I think hopefully 10-plus touchdowns for him next year. And, I mean, you just – that goes back to the very beginning part of this podcast where you look at Gronk. Gronk had a big step back this year, regardless if he plays or not. I mean, he played well in the playoffs, but I don't see him being anywhere close to the Gronk of past for a whole regular season. So, and then I've got Gronk at 5.
I've got Hunter Henry at 5. Hunter Henry could very well finish as the number one tight end in fantasy football next year. So it would not be – I would not be – upset one bit if you even picked Hunter Henry over Kelce next year. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with that whatsoever. We've got another segment coming up here where we're like, hey, don't forget about me with these players going in next year. Hunter Henry might be on there, and I've got some stats that'll back it, too.
Gronk, if he retires, O.J. Howard, because Jameis Winston likes his tight ends. And I do, yep. I really do think Gronk will retire. I think Brady.
You think so?
I think Brady comes back.
There's some WWE speculation in there, too.
Man,
like, he's talked to WWE. They can see him being a superstar and whatnot. There's also some actors that are wanting to come up and manage Gronk as an action hero.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think that's where he goes next. And you're kind of healthy right now. You ended on a high note. You played well in the Super Bowl. And you got 87 receiving yards in the Super Bowl, which was his number, which I think is a pretty cool way to go out. All right, we're going to come back, get to Don't Forget About These Three Players and some keeper scenarios. You're listening to the 929thegame.com Fantasy Football Podcast with Brian Gephardt and Bo Johnson. Welcome back, 99 The Game, Fantasy Football Podcast. Brian Gephardt, Bo Johnson. This is a new segment we want to roll out during the offseason. Don't forget about these guys. We got three players each. We're probably going to do this a few times throughout the offseason. Just some names to be thinking about that didn't, whether they were like injured or haven't even played yet in the NFL, or an older guy that you don't respect anymore or has burned you in the past. Just three names just to remember heading into 2019.
And on that same note, you know, that's the one thing that sucks about podcasting versus live radio is that we can't get immediate feedback from listeners. But hit us on Twitter, hit us on Facebook, hit us on Instagram with feedback. Do you like the segment? Do you have other players that could have been mentioned? And we'll work some of that stuff in there. Now, the best thing about podcasting versus live radio is the fact that it's on demand and you can pick us up and put us down whenever the hell you want to. So I do love the format of the podcast, but yeah, be sure and give us that feedback, you know, positive, negative. We're grown ass men. We can take it.
And before we jump into these names, just don't forget about fantasy football. I mean, throughout the offseason, I mean, just listen to these podcasts, listen to our podcast, listen to other ones, just figure out which ones you like, figure out which kind of style you want to listen to. And it's good to listen to different podcasts just to get thoughts, but I mean, clearly listen to us first and foremost.
Because we're the best at what we
do. Exactly.
We got more right than anybody else. 100%.
At some point, we'll actually have an official name. We talked with Knox Bardeen. He's our social media digital manager, I guess is his full title, something along those lines, and our team of lawyers, and we are going to have a name by the draft. We demanded it. We demanded it, so we'll actually see if that happens or not.
I would have said, like, beginning of the season, but by the draft, I mean, that's only a couple months away.
Well, you know how decisions get made around
here.
We'll see. So here we go. Bo, who you got, number one?
Do not forget about me, says Hunter Henry. All right, so he's been kind of injury-riddled for the first couple years of his career, did not play at all in 2018. So, bear with me here as we combine Hunter Henry's 2016 and 17 stats, because it roughly comes out to a 16-game career.
Okay.
All right. His average yard for catch is 13. All right. In the combined years of 2016 and 17, he had 81 receptions for 1,057 yards and 12 touchdowns. So you were saying red zone, touchdown machine. If he's healthy the entire season, that is very well what's going to happen. He could easily eclipse double-digit touchdowns. He could be up there in, you know, the 13-14 range, I believe. So there's nothing wrong with 81 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 12 touchdowns out of a tight end.
Absolutely not. I love Hunter Henry. I'm partial to him. I have him in the Dynasty League that we're in. I drafted him as a rookie coming out of the gate. And the only thing I'm worried about with Hunter Henry, the great thing is he actually got on the field for that first round in the playoffs. I mean, he didn't really do a whole lot.
Doesn't matter, though.
But he's fully recovered.
He's healthy.
He's healthy, and it's February, so he is going to be good to go. I mean, really sucked that he got hurt in OTAs and all of that. So he will be fully healthy heading into 2019. The only thing that he's going to have to deal with, I think, is, because I think Rivers will play for a few more years, is the red zone targets he's going to get distributed to him, because they do have Mike Williams, who is a big wide receiver, a big threat there as well. Of course, Keenan Allen, who is a wide receiver one. You've also got Tyrell Williams and a couple other guys. We'll wind up seeing what that receiving core is, but he could be, you know, second, third option in the red zone, even though he should be a red zone machine as well. And there's a good chance Keenan Allen gets banged up at some point during the year. Something happens to Mike Williams. But yeah, love Hunter Henry. He's a top five tight end for me, for sure. My first, don't forget about him player, Jimmy Garoppolo. You remember the hype heading into this
past
season?
Got the big money, man. Got the big money.
People were literally calling him Jimmy Jesus heading into this season. And the biggest thing to remember about Jimmy Garoppolo, again, he got hurt earlier in the year. He will be fully healthy, much like Hunter Henry. Kyle Shanahan is an offensive wizard. We saw it here in Atlanta. One nugget here that I love is that Nick Mullins, I had to double check this. I heard this elsewhere and I had to double check it. Nick Mullins was seventh among quarterbacks this year in yards per game, which is insane. You just see the list.
Well, and that's Kyle Shanahan.
That's Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Right.
So imagine, and Nick Mullins was an undrafted free agent. I mean, he was a third string quarterback.
He's a nobody.
And he made him a top 10 yards per game.
No
offense. Exactly. Even though that guy, he's going to be a long time backup and probably win some random playoff game for the Bills.
He might. You have a situation that Mullins was in last year is exactly how Jimmy Garoppolo got the money. You know, he came in for Tom Brady as a backup. Brady was hurt. He came in and did well, and then before you know it, he's traded and receives a big contract. Don't be surprised if something like that happens with Nick Mullins if he sees any action in 2019.
Definitely, but I think so much of that, like we were saying, is Kyle Shanahan. So Jimmy G, I expect him to be plug and play, and you know, so much hype going into him this past year. All these other quarterbacks kind of stepped up and did well. There's so many good quarterbacks, but he's that guy who could drop to the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th pick as a quarterback. You could get him real late if you're in a 10-team or 12-team league. Wait till everybody else picks all these other quarterbacks. Snag Jimmy G. You'll be ready to roll. He'll finish as a quarterback one.
Let me give you the second thing you need to remember about Jimmy G, and we will have to wait to see if this comes to fruition. Antonio Brown wants to go play for the San Francisco 49ers. If that happens, so you've got Goodwin and Brown and Kittle. Wow.
And Pettis in the slot, who came on strong late.
You could very easily, I think, have Jimmy G as a second quarterback in a two-quarterback league. You would probably have to take him early. You know, you're going to draft a quarterback in a two-quarterback league, your first one in the first or second round. I do. Your second one, you would have to draft Jimmy Garoppolo in like the sixth or seventh, which would be a little early for a second quarterback in a two-quarterback league, but man. Look at that.
Now, I will say if Antonio Brown gets traded to the 49ers, this whole...
He's not going to go in the fifth or sixth round. It'll be a lot sooner than that.
It'll be the whole remember Jimmy G. Everyone will remember him. Yeah. He'll be first and foremost. Yeah. Probably be overhyped, and then we'll give you another quarterback name to get instead. Who's second on your list here,
Second on my list is going to be Marquise Lee, who got hurt in training camp with an ACL. Should be healthy going in the next year. Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver. 2017, 56 receptions. But he turned that 56 receptions into 702 yards. So if as a true number one elite receiver, which is what he should be going into the season, if you double his reception count to 100, he's going to finish with 1,400 yards, which is Nuke Hopkins territory. Only 3 touchdowns out of 56 receptions. And you're going to have to kind of see, being only February 6th, who the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars is next year, because we have no idea. But don't forget about Marquise Lee. He could be a solid wide receiver too for you next year. He could end up being a league winner, though.
You brought up the biggest question. Who's going to be their quarterback? For me, the Jags are one of those teams. I try to talk myself into a couple different wide receivers as like flyers at the end of the year, and I'm sure I will heading into the next season right before we get there. But I'm probably just avoiding them altogether.
Because D.D. Westbrook is going to be
altogether
there also and could end up having a good season. It's going to be one of those complicated situations, though. You already, no matter who the quarterback is.
The only guy, I mean, I
it's
guess.
It's going to take a dice roll. It's going to take some cojones to draft Jacksonville Jaguars receivers next year.
I guess I'll be interested in Fournette if he slips a little bit, if people are worried about the injury there. But I just, I don't.
Even Fournette, I think, probably fallen down to like flex territory.
Yeah. For the time being, I don't want any of it.
RB1, he was being drafted late first round.
I'm interested to see if Foles lands in a spot like that, and I just, I don't know.
Foles
just
could
don't
end up back with the Eagles, too, though, if they franchise tag him. But he has already made the decision to opt out of his contract. The Eagles are going to have to franchise tag Nick Foles for like $20 million or something ridiculous like that to keep him.
So. All right, next up for me, running back. I know Bo's very familiar with him, as all of us here in the Southeast are. Remember that stud running back from LSU? Darius Geis, you remember him, Bo?
Yes.
Okay.
Washington Redskins.
Yes.
First-round draft pick.
Tore his ACL before the season had started, and I couldn't find the stat, but I'm 99% certain. So if you can find it out there and tweet it at us, that would be great. But Darius Geis, who tore his ACL before the season last year, was one of the top picks there for the Redskins. He was second all-time in SEC history in yards per game. Guy was an absolute beast. A lot of people thought he was the best running back outside of Saquon Barkley in this draft this past year. And he's a guy just to keep an eye on because, hypothetically, this Redskins team, they were 6-2. Of course, the gruesome injury to Alex Smith, he looks like he's going to be out in 2019. Who knows what's going to happen at quarterback for them, but this will probably be more of a defensive run-first type of a team where Geis could be the primary offensive threat on this team. So he's definitely someone to keep an eye on heading into the season.
Yeah, if you remember correctly, the dynasty that we're in, I got auto-picked Darius Geis, but that's not who I was going to be picking because I felt that my team was decent enough to make a run had I gotten a running back that would have been sufficient. I have good receivers, good quarterbacks. So I went for a Tampa guy, and boy, do I regret that. I wish I had Geis on my team.
I was so glad you did that because I wound up with Geis a couple picks later. Well, you texted that to me. I was like, oh, let's change this because that's who I was going to go. Yeah. I think I picked seventh or eighth. I can't remember exactly. And for those of you who play Dynasty, that's a perfect idea. If you get a situation with a guy who's hurt like that, a rookie that comes out and something happens to him in camp, God forbid something that happened to Geis, I picked him up. Put him on the taxi squad so he doesn't even count against my keepers. Yeah. And you know, now we're getting into a real nerdy talk.
Draft pick next year.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. We'll have to do one podcast that's just for Dynasty coming up sometime.
Maybe break it down and explain it to people so we get more people interested in playing in
Dynasty.
Absolutely.
It's really
the best form of fantasy football.
It's really, really fun, especially if you got a group that you know is going to be together for a couple years. Who you got there for your third one?
Don't forget about my play. It's going to be Damian Williams. Now, it's not like Damian Williams disappeared, but he actually just kind of appeared at the end of the season. Finishes the season with 50 rushes for 256 yards, 4 touchdowns. Okay, so in the divisional round versus the Colts, he had 25 rushes for 129 yards and a touchdown. Now, it's kind of a tale of two running backs there because in the AFC Championship, he only got 10 rushes for 30 yards, which is not very good. He should go into next season. Spencer Ware is still going to be there too, and I think Charkandrick West will still be there. And another Damian, the one from LSU, Damian Harris, if I'm not mistaken. Damian Williams should go February 6th, keep this in mind, should go into next year as the number one running back on the Kansas City Chiefs in a high-powered offense where they will be able to spread the ball and run the ball effectively. So Damian Williams, I don't know where I'd draft him, where I'd place him at this point, him and Geis, but I think that they are both RB2s going into next. I think top 20 guys.
Yeah, and I think Damian Williams is a safer play, if I'm not mistaken. Right before the end of the regular season, it was one of those just kind of like thrown out storylines that people didn't pay attention to. But the Chiefs gave him a 2-year extension, meaning like, hey.
He is 26. This is like his fifth or sixth year in the league.
Yeah. Hey, you're our guy. I mean, this is it. So we don't have to worry. I mean, they probably will draft a running back maybe fourth, fifth, sixth round just to have another guy in there, another body. But yeah, like you said, he's going to have opportunities to score. He's going to be a really safe pick. And maybe someone a ton of people don't realize or think about and could fall behind a bunch of other names. Definitely someone to remember. My last guy here, another guy we're very familiar with here in the Southeast, especially in the state of Georgia, and that's Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green. So he's dealt with some injuries over the last few years. A lot of people think he's, you know, quote, injury prone, but he really only – he played 9 games this year. 2 years ago, he played in 10 games. Every other year, he's played in at least 15 games. So, yes, he has had injuries, and yes, he is, I guess, a bit injury prone with his toe and a couple other things at this point, but – when he's on the field, he's still a stud. He's still a top 10 wide receiver, no doubt. He's still a wide receiver one. And the thing is, the Bengals finally made a change at head coach. And in theory, you'd like to think that their offense can't be any worse than it's been in the last few years. They've got former Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor, who's supposedly a Sean McVay disciple. So in theory, this offense should be a lot better. They should be tossing the ball around a little bit more. And if he's healthy or plays 12, 14 games, whatever it might be, A.J. Green's going to bring it, and he's a guy who could definitely drop in some drafts, especially if you're drafting with people outside of the state of Georgia because people are going to be biased with that. But he is a solid pick for me, back-end wide receiver one.
So A.J. Green has 2 years left on a $60 million contract, free agent 2020, or I guess it's after the 2020 season.
Yeah, he signed that mega extension a couple years ago.
It kind of seems to me that A.J. Green, especially coming off of a season where he got hurt, could end up being a salary cap casualty this year or next. And I think that could be one of the best things for fantasy football A.J. Green, depending on where he ends up. Only simply because he still has Andy Dalton throwing him the football. And you love his talent. Not Andy Dalton's, A.J. Green's.
Just to be clear. You can forget about Andy Dalton. That should be another segment.
It's something to keep an eye on because I agree with you. don't forget about AJ Green.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to fall in drafts, and he's a wide receiver one still. If you were to rank your top 10 wide receivers in the league, he would have to be there, you would think. Probably 9 or 10, maybe 11, something like that. But I think he's going to fall to like the third or fourth round next year.
And I'm biased with this, but man, AJ Green, like, why did he have to play most of his career in Cincinnati? It's just so brutal, man. That would be an awesome person. Like, if he wound up in San Francisco and wound up as Jimmy G's number one, could you imagine something like that? That would be great.
Or New Orleans.
Any other names to talk about here before we jump into keeper situations?
No, man, let's get into some keeper scenario situations.
All right, so keeper scenarios. This is something we're going to do again throughout the offseason as a lot of people play in dynasty leagues or keeper leagues if you don't play in dynasty leagues. And you're kind of like, should I take this person or that person? Now, a lot of it has to do with your roster construction, what your roster looks like heading into the season. Do you have a real chance at being one of the top three teams? Can you win a championship? Or are you someone that's, you know, building forward? But we're going to kind of talk in general, like you have a pretty good team, like you're probably trying to win next year. So what's the first scenario you have for me out of the gate here?
All right, so check this one out. And this, now, obviously, if you're in a dynasty where you're keeping multiple players, you're probably going to hang on to both these guys because you're going to not cut either of them. But like in a one-keeper league or in a two-keeper league where maybe you have a great running back, who do you keep, Juju Smith-Schuster or Antonio Brown?
Man, this is tough because Juju had such a great year, but Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. Here's the thing. I'm going to answer this question with the assumption that Brown is not a Steeler next year.
Okay. All right.
And if that's the case, in both redraft and in dynasty leagues, I would prefer Juju.
Yeah.
And I just think Juju can be a wide receiver. One, he won't have as many like bomb plays because he's going to get covered a little bit more, but he's going to have so many more targets, probably has more receptions, probably even be better in PPR. And oftentimes, not that Brown is going to be like a bust wherever he goes, because he's obviously a hell of a player. But you see this time and time again over the course of the last few decades in the NFL, when a wide receiver, a skill player, whether it be a running back or a wide receiver, when they jump into a different team, a different offensive system later in their career, typically, they don't thrive.
Yep.
Typically, they take a big step back, especially a guy like Antonio Brown. So I see him being that, you know, top three, arguably the best receiver in the league, to where if he goes somewhere else, you know, he'll probably be more of a back-end wide receiver one, maybe wide receiver two. Or Juju already is that, and he will take that step forward if Brown is gone. So as much as it's kind of crazy, I mean, imagine asking this question heading into 2018.
Food for thought.
But I would take Juju.
I think I would take Juju in both scenarios also, both in a dynasty and a redraft. One, we have no idea where AB is going to land. Two, you can't argue with chemistry. And that's the biggest reason why receivers or running backs or quarterbacks who change teams don't often, at least in that first year or the first half of the first year, play as well. Because a receiver and a quarterback, unless he goes somewhere soon to where him and his new quarterback can get on a football field before training camp and get some chemistry down, you don't often see, you know, success replicated that quickly. That's why I'd go Juju. He's probably got 7 years on him in age. I know Antonio Brown's on the wrong side of 30. Juju's probably only like 24.
Yeah, Juju might not even be that old because he was young coming out too. But yeah, at least 7 or 8 years.
He was like the youngest player to ever play in the league.
Yeah, so he might even be like 22, 23. Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to look that up in just a minute. But yeah, it's crazy to think about that because going into 2018, I think everyone was like, well, Brown's still the number one wide receiver. But obviously all the drama going on there. Crazy to think of what the Steelers could look like next year as opposed to heading into 2018.
Juju Smith-Schuster is 22 years old.
22. All right. So
he will turn 23 halfway through the season next year, November.
So it's
that's three quarters through the season.
Absolute no-brainer in Dynasty.
Oh,
hell,
yeah.
Now that we know he's that young, I'm going to say even if Brown's back, I would rather have Juju in a Dynasty league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I would even actually, like, where would you put him just at 22 years old? In a dynasty redraft, you've obviously got Barkley. Gurley's still going to be there.
Is he the number one wide receiver taken?
I think it probably should be. Who are you going to take in front of him?
Maybe your
Hopkins
or your boy in New Orleans. Nuke, Thomas is still young.
Nuke's pretty young too.
But then you have like to think 24. About Breeze being. Well, then you have Roethlisberger. Man, he's in that conversation, which is insane. Anyways, we'll move on to our next scenario here. But as you can tell, there's a lot of these. We're going to try to make them tough on each other. To come up with the right answer. And there's not necessarily a right answer, it's just your preference. All right, We'll stick with the wide receivers.
All right, bring it.
Brandon Cooks or Kenny Galladay?
Hmm.
I know.
In a dynasty, I got to go Galladay with the age. And he's the number one receiver soon to be in Detroit. I think he kind of finished the season like because they got rid of everybody else.
Yeah, they don't really have another option there.
Now, Matt Stafford is aging, but I like the talent that is Matt Stafford. I think he's been unfortunate to be playing with some crappy offensive lines. He's got one of the strongest arms in the NFL still. You know, there's so many weapons on the Los Angeles Rams, and they pretty much only use Cooks as a deep threat because they use Robert Woods as the possession guy. Cooks can be that guy, but I think he's been misused his entire career, by the way. I got to go Galladay. I mean, there's too many guys to throw the ball to with the Rams. I like the quarterbacks on both teams, even though, you know, Stafford's aging. But Galladay is only in, he's going to be year two. So, yeah, give me Galladay.
Yeah, it's a tough one, though, yeah, to think about because it's you know, the number one wide receiver, and this is a scenario you'll see throughout the league when you are drafting. It's a number one wide receiver on what, you know, you would consider a mediocre offense versus maybe the second or third option, maybe the first option, but an offense where there's plenty of options on a top offense there. Marvin Jones is still there. He got hurt. You know, obviously they traded Golden Tate, but Marvin Jones, I think it was a leg injury with him. I can't remember what it was, but he went out in like week 10, something like that.
But they still only use Marvin Jones really as a slot guy or as number two. They've never actually, I don't think he would be.
No, he's been a pretty good red zone guy.
Deep ball guy too.
Yeah, he scored a good amount of touchdowns for them. All right, what you got next?
All right, so this is probably the most likely scenario out of all the ones we're going to talk about as far as somebody having to make the decision because they have both these guys on their team because of how 2018 went down. So you're in a one-keeper league. Let's just assume the rest of your team's trash, but you've got these two guys. Which one do you keep? Le'Veon Bell or James Conner?
Oh, man. Those are two guys that changed the fantasy world this past year. All right. If Le'Veon Bell signs with either the Colts or the 49ers, I would prefer Le'Veon Bell.
What about the Jets?
No.
No?
God, no. I mean, if he does, bless him, you know.
assuming it's a team where he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Of course, no team that already has a guy is probably going to give him any kind of near the money that he's looking for.
The biggest thing is I just don't trust that offensive line or that offense or that organization in general. So I'm looking at
what
more
about
of
Houston?
The structure. No, again,
Le'Veon Bell and the Houston Texans.
Again, they have a terrible offensive line. So if Bell goes to the Niners or the Colts, I'll take Bell.
Okay.
If he goes to any other team,
really?
I'll take Connor. Because
all
Connor's,
right.
We've seen it from Connor. And weird stuff happens to players. I mean, not that we've ever seen a situation like Bell before. But when you miss a year of football, like it's not, you can't just go back in and play football. It doesn't typically work like that.
Now, has he stayed in shape or has he just been laying around smoking weed all
I mean, he's probably been doing some rap albums. Probably been getting that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. If I had to make this decision today, maybe Connor. But I think even if Le'Veon ends up on the Jets or the Texans, two teams that need a running back, the Texans are a running back away now, you know.
Well, they got your guy.
This is true. I don't know if he's going to be on the team this year. I think he's a free agent.
Well, let's tell people who they are. Lamar Miller is someone who's we've talked about a lot.
And I do like how Lamar Miller came on last year. He was my comeback player of the year, which probably should have been Andrew Luck. But either way, he had a great season. I don't know, man. I think I got to roll the dice on Le'Veon Bell, bro.
Okay.
And just because of what he has done in the past, with the way that he runs the football, the way that he catches the football and then runs. He's one of the most elusive players in the NFL, still relatively young. I think he's probably 27.
Yeah.
I think if I'm having to keep one guy tomorrow, I don't know. I got to go Le'Veon, bro.
We come up with our own scenarios.
I think he is going to play football in 2019. Therefore, I have to take Le'Veon Bell.
All right. Again, it's kind of that same thing. A little bit different because Antonio Brown's older, but running backs, you know, they are older in football years.
Yeah.
You know, when they switch like that. If he goes to one of those two infrastructures that I like what they're doing.
Who do you
there,
keep if he stays with the Steelers?
You keep him. Oh, you keep Bell. I mean, if the Steelers keep him, which is not going to happen at this point.
You think they just kind of put James Conner on the back
100%.
Burner? Or
because
maybe
Bell is the better talent. I mean, Conner played well. But the thing is, Conner's already there. We've seen what he can do in the system he's already in. And especially if Brown's gone and Bell's gone, all of a sudden the two offensive weapons on that team are Juju and Connor, and that's, I mean, they've got a few other things, but those are the guys. I wish you guys could see our faces because we're like perplexed. You're like, man, they can't drop this question on me. All right. Another running back scenario. This is guys maybe a few spots down, maybe back end RB1s, mid RB1s, RB2s. David Johnson, who sort of had a disappointing year. We talked a lot about that at the end of the year, but he wound up with okay numbers. Or Joe Mixon.
I got to go David Johnson there. Okay. I almost used David Johnson in the Don't Forget About My Play segment, but he finished still as a top 10 running back. All right. He had a great year. He's over 1,000 all-purpose yards. He had the catches. He still had like 50-something catches, if I'm not mistaken. It's just the crappiness that was the Arizona Cardinals offense. You know, I think David Johnson, how do you have a bounce back year from a top 10 running back? You get back into the top three. I think he could have that similar. He is still that player. He can still catch the ball. He can still run the ball. He was coming off of a broken hand, which affected him zero. Now, is the Arizona Cardinals offense going to improve that much over this next year? Well, the quarterback's going to be better, we assume.
You got Cliff Kingsbury in there as well.
Got a brand new head coach.
Yeah.
And something about the Bengals, man, I just don't want to.
But remember, it's not Marvin Lewis's Bengals
this
anymore.
Is true.
Okay.
But it's still the Bengals. And I see Andy Dalton there and just.
But Mixon had a good year. Mixon, I don't have their numbers right in front of me, but I think they put up similar numbers like him and David Johnson.
What's their age gap?
Now,
David Johnson's probably 27-ish.
Oh, he can't be that old already, is he?
Is he? I don't know. If he's younger
David
than
Johnson's
that.
David Johnson's 25.
27.
David Johnson's 27?
He's 27.
Wow, I think Mixon's like 24.
So in a dynasty, that might. I think 27, like, you don't need to go all, like,
wow,
super, like,
how did he
planning
27?
The next 10 years in a dynasty. Like, you should be trying to win this year in a dynasty, and the max I would project for a player is 5 years.
All right, so how old is Mixon?
So if David Johnson's only 27, can he play until he's 32? Absolutely. So don't go all crazy.
Well, but depending on Mixon's age, so say Mixon's 24, which Bo's looking up right now. I'm just vamping. This is what they call that. I would pick David Johnson in a redraft league. And assuming Mixon is about 3 years younger.
Joe Mixon is 22.
Oh, my gosh.
Going into the season, he'll be 23. Because his birthday is in July.
Did these kids get drafted when they're 16 now? What happened?
How is he that young?
He only been, so this is his second year? No, his third.
Third year?
His third,
wow.
Yeah.
So he got drafted when he was 19? I guess you can leave after your junior year in college.
Yeah, especially when you get kicked out, too.
Yeah, good point.
And that whole thing. I don't even know. Anyways, to answer the question that I gave to you, even though you just answered it, David Johnson, I would pick in a redraft league, I believe, and Joe Mixon hands down in a dynasty.
Really?
He's only 22. He's only 20. Dude, 27 for a running back is old. It's definitely not young. You've got Mixon for at least 5 more years. David Johnson might give you 2 to 3 more good years. That's where you're at. Once you hit 30, I mean, that's the magical number.
But who do you want next year?
I want David Johnson next year, but I want Mixon if we're doing a dynasty.
I think David
Johnson. Both sides.
I think David Johnson's got enough left in him, though, at 27 years old. And you got to think the year that he almost sat out with the hand injury, he did nothing to his legs.
I know, it's his wrist.
Now we can play that. Let's put him at 26 years old now because he's 26 in NFL years because he did. You know.
He does yoga too, so he's basically 24.
Yeah, exactly. See, they're almost the same age.
Oh,
and
man.
Then Mixon plays for the
right.
Bengals,
but
so you got to add age on there.
He's 22. All right.
I think I'll take David. I like the talent that is
so
David
you would
Johnson.
Take David Johnson in both.
I think I'll take David Johnson in a dynasty because I don't want to look too far into the future, man.
Okay.
Like, you assume that Joe Mixon's going to be around for the next 5 years as a productive running back, but what if it tears an ACL or something like that? They're both talented guys.
Yeah.
I think that now if he was 29, I'd probably pick Mixon. That's a huge 27 and 29. That's 2 years. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, all right. What do you got next? See?
How about a couple of veteran quarterbacks if you're in a keeper league? Could be dynasty. And then I'm going to throw you a curveball in there. Who would you keep over Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers has like 6 years on Drew Brees as far as age. Drew Brees just turned 40. Aaron Rodgers is like 33. 34.
I think Roger's 34, 35, 34, 34. I don't know. We should have wrote down all these ages, but we're going to look them up as we go. Anyways, I got to go with Rodgers in both because they both have a top three wide receiver according to our rankings, Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. But Rodgers, obviously younger. The thing that Brees has on his side for sure is Sean Payton and the play calling, that type of thing. But Rodgers has the chance, I feel like year in and year out, to have a slightly.
35.
Yeah. To have that higher ceiling, Although, you know, it's funny because Breeze had the shoulder injury very early on, which clearly has not affected his career, the whole thing back in the Chargers. But he's never really had any lower body injuries, has he?
No.
And you look at that with Rodgers. Rodgers has dealt with that. He's broken both collarbones. He's hurt his knee. He's done this and that. So he's an old 35 already. But I would have. I'm going to go with Rodgers in both in this situation. Not that I wouldn't take Drew Brees if given the opportunity.
This is a tough one because I like the weapons on both teams. I'd probably have to go. I'm gonna go Aaron Rodgers in a dynasty because he's got, you know, let's say he's got 5 years left. Drew Brees probably only has one, maybe two. He's only under contract for one more year.
Yeah.
Saints win it all next year, he's probably going to retire. So in a dynasty, I think you have to go Rodgers. In a redraft, you know, flip a coin. I like the weapons that both guys have. Drew Brees just broke his own, you know, passing accuracy record again for like the fourth straight year. 30 touchdowns. Redraft, you probably go Rodgers too, you know, just because Aaron Rodgers has the mobility behind him. A little bit younger.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Whatever.
It's a tough call, I think you got to go Rodgers in both scenarios. Now, so let's say Aaron Rodgers comes out of that battle. In a dynasty league, who are you keeping with Aaron Rodgers being 35 out of Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson?
In a dynasty league?
He's probably one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the league right now.
In a dynasty league, I'm taking Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He's got a stud. It's funny that these scenarios we have, it's the top three wide receivers we're talking about too.
Yeah.
Hopkins, Thomas, Devontae Adams. So I've got to go with Watson. I mean, and again, Watson's about to step into year three. You know, now he's, not that he wasn't fully healthy this past year, but when you come off the ACL tear, you know, sometimes a lot of people say it takes you a year to get back to your full form and trusting your leg and all that type of stuff. So I see him even running more next year or scrambling a little bit more, maybe getting a few more rushing touchdowns. And for the long haul, I mean, if you're in a dynasty league, hypothetically, Deshaun Watson's your guy for a decade plus, so I would take Watson.
I like the talent that is Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is the quarterback on my Madden Ultimate team this year because of his legs. And he's not like typically whenever you have a running in quote quarterback, his other stats are so far down that it makes him a crappy quarterback. Like Mike Vick on Madden is one of the fastest players on the game, but his accuracy is horrible on short, deep, intermediate, everything. So I got to take Aaron Rodgers here, though, in a dynasty, assuming he has five years left on, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Do you think he plays for 5 years, though?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay. Until he's 40, I think he plays beyond that.
All right.
Yeah.
But he's more banged up than these other dudes. He's more banged up.
I think
that
Aaron Rodgers, if I was asked the question, who would we win comeback player of the year next year, it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he has a definite comeback player of the year type year. The Green Bay Packers are at least back in the mix for their own division. You know, the Bears aren't going to run away with it. You know, you're going to have a nice little couple battles there between Trubisky and Rodgers. But with Devontae Adams, with Jimmy Graham, who he's not going to use, but he's still going to be a decoy. People are going to think that he's going to use him, and they're not going to want to listen to people. The two running backs, yeah, give me Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. That is a good question, though. All right, last keeper scenario for you. I've got a very interesting one because I've got an old quarterback and a younger quarterback, and both are pretty good in their own regard, depending on how you want to look at it. Phillip Rivers, who me and you were both high on heading into this year.
Still am.
That's you could do this if we started this segment a decade ago about forgot about him. Don't stop sleeping on Phillip Rivers.
Every year.
Because he's got one of the best floors every single year, and he doesn't get hurt. And even when he gets hurt, he plays through it. Phillip Rivers or Carson Wentz?
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
Yeah, right?
How old is Phillip Rivers?
I said that when I wrote it down.
You know
down.
How old Phillip Rivers is?
Phillip Rivers has got to be 37.
Is he that close?
Well, they were both. He was in the 2003 draft with
Eli Manning
and Big Ben. They were all in the same group. So they're 37, 38, somewhere right there.
Wow.
I mean, they're old.
Well, so that can answer the dynasty part of it, but I mean, has Carson Wentz finished a season?
He also has 106 children, which he needs to keep playing in the league to continue to pay for all of this stuff. He does have 8 kids, I think, and the ninth one's on the way.
Nine. Yeah, I think the ninth one was born.
Okay, so nine. Yeah, or whatever. It's nine to
with
be
the same wife though. Congratulations.
Yeah,
to you.
Good job.
Hey,
Phil.
I'm not gonna lie though. If I made NFL money, I would have a bunch of kids like that.
And Randy McMichael, you know, one of the hosts here at 92.9 The Game, he played with him at San Diego. Swears by Phillip Rivers as far as being a good dude and a really great player. Probably the best quarterback that he ever played with.
Phillip
there as
Rivers
well.
Is age 37. He shares the same birthday as my dad, which is pretty cool. December 8th.
Okay, so he just turned 37. So I still think he's gonna play two or three more years. And then you look at Wentz, who a lot of people. It's funny. I was actually arguing with somebody last night, my brother-in-law, ironically, about Carson Wentz and is he injury prone or not. I mean, so where are you with these guys, both redraft dynasty? Who would you take?
I've been told by several members of the medical field that there is no such thing as injury prone.
Yeah.
All right. Each injury is completely unrelated to the next, even though one ACL tear typically puts you more people have a second. How do you even more people have a second ACL tear than the first?
And I've heard that too, but it's also, are there soft people versus not soft people?
I've been told no.
Okay.
Dr. Dale Yake, who is the CEO of PT Solutions.
There's a plug.
Who has a radio show here on Saturday mornings yeah. from 8 to 9, who I am the producer of, or
Catch
I kind of help produce it, but I'm the in-studio producer.
Yeah.
I asked him that question, and he told me no, that there's no such thing as a person being a soft tissue type person. Injuries are all unrelatable for the most part. But that being said, I know what Phillip Rivers is. I know the weapons Phillip Rivers has. I know nothing about that of the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that Alshon Jeffrey, if there was such thing as an injury-prone person, definitely falls into that category.
Yeah. Don't know who Jay the running
Ajayi
back is.
Too.
Don't
Every,
know who the
everybody
back is.
On the Eagles, well, you're saying yeah. this about. So give me Phillip Rivers, and give me Phillip Rivers in both scenarios.
100% in a redraft league. Phillip Rivers.
Did you know that Phillip Rivers, if you ask, sorry.
Go ahead.
The most trash-talkingness people in the NFL, they will, in the if you name a top five, he'd be in every single one of them,
yeah.
and he does it without saying a curse word.
Which,
that's awesome,
if I was on the other side and receiving that, I would just be like mad that he wasn't cursing at me. Like, you almost feel like he's in control of this whole thing. Oh, there's, you know, we weren't going to get out of the show without this music. Phillip Rivers is a monster, man, and people don't respect his career. It's
and
funny.
He's still, if you go look at pre-draft rankings right now on any website, Phillip Rivers is like the 20th quarterback.
And we already talked a lot about Hunter Henry
so
in
much
this
shade.
Podcast. He's got Hunter Henry. He's got Keenan Allen, who's a top
Melvin
10
Gordon,
wide receiver.
Melvin Gordon, who catches footballs.
Melvin Gordon, who's a beast. Not to mention Mike Williams, who will be stepping into his third year as a wide receiver and really had some good games this year.
Don't understand it.
His weapons are far superior to that are in Philly.
If I could go into redraft leagues and have Phillip Rivers as my quarterback in every league for the next 5 years, I would sign that right now. I would sign that on the dotted line.
I'm gonna take him in both too. I think it's a coin flip in dynasty if you trust Wentz being healthy. Because I think he's a good player.
That's a better conversation. But as far as a redraft league. Next year, give me Phillip Rivers, dude, because he's gonna be on the field and he's gonna have the numbers. He has them every year. Go look at the information. Like, is it the Chargers? Is it because he plays on the Chargers?
Yeah, and he's never played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That
I mean, he's kind of blown
fantasy.
It in big games. I know, but that's how people
a bunch
look
of fantasy
at it.
Super
that's how people
Bowls.
Look at it. Although
By
people
golly.
Will say he's a Hall of Famer and won't say Matt Ryan is, but that's a different conversation for a different
for
day. Anyways, we appreciate you listening. We know this one went a little bit longer, but we had a lot of fun. This first time
Bo
and I got a chance to catch up in a couple weeks. So catch us, 929thegame.com. We will eventually have a name, and we will somehow work Fire and Ice and Game of Thrones into every podcast. Coming up in April, what a great commercial that Bud Knight won. That was best commercial of the Super Bowl.
Best commercial of the Super Bowl, hands down, and it might be the best commercial of the Super Bowl for the last 10 years. I don't know. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you'll appreciate it like that, as I do, and we do.
If you don't know what the hell we're talking about, just type in Bud Knight Super Bowl commercial.
We very well might have to work a Game of Thrones segment into our future fantasy football play. I don't think anybody would mind.
We'll have to figure it out for sure. Anyways, guys, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back sometime next couple weeks. Check it out. We'll tweet out this link. 929 The Game. Follow us. Follow at Jedi Sports Radio. That's Bo's Twitter handle. I am at Brian_Gephardt. Till next time.
Cheers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.